First of all, before we continue, a big thank you to Jeff and Wendy Davis for allowing me to come out to their property in front of this beautifully colored tree on this autumn day. Thank you, Jeff and Wendy. Wow, after listening to that, all I would like to say is hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, church. Our God was the God of the beginning. He's the God of the end. From beginning to end, He has always will and will always be God. Hallelujah. But something we also need to realize, He's also the God of every single day of our lives. Do we recognize Him for that? Do we acknowledge Him for being the God of our lives every day? If we don't, there's a good chance that you and I just might need revival. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a few moments. But first, let's listen to the Taylor family as they share with us their favorite Bible verses.
Hi guys, Taylor Stewart here. Hope this finds you well. You guys going first, what are you going to say? What's your favorite Bible verse?
Mine is God.
That's pretty good. That's good. Put your hand out so people can see.
So I pray.
Well, mate, pretty spot on there. Sambo will kick it off second.
I have two because I couldn't make my mind up on what one I likes more. So, in the world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33, and be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted among the Psalms 46:10.
Good stuff. Danielle's going to go next. Holly's providing the background sound effects.
Okay, my favourite verse is one that Tony mentioned last week, and it's Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love this verse because it's brought me great comfort many times in my life. It reminds me of the enormity of God's love, and no matter what is happening in our life, we can find healing, God's peace, and rest in God's great love.
Okay, Dad's going to last. My favourite verses in the Bible are Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. My favourite verse, I used to work at Community United Special School in Victoria for kids with pretty severe autism. And it was a really tough place to work. And there was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of heartache, a lot of grief. And I could just, that sort of got me through some of my days, the tough days. And look, I was just a teacher and I had nothing to do with it, which the parents had to deal with. And yes, that's my favourite. So look, we will sign up. Holly wants to say goodbye. Here she is. Holly May, do you want to
goodbye.
Say goodbye? Hang on.
Goodbye.
See you guys. Holly May. Holly, look, come and talk to the screen. Look, say hi.
Thank you, Matt and Danielle and the rest of your family. Wonderfully done. Now, let's talk about revival. Our homes need revival. Our church needs revival. Our country needs revival. In a very personal way, I need revival. Is there anybody else that would say that? Before we continue on, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for an opportunity to encourage people to think about and to pray about revival. And Father, I just pray that you will use this to kind of kickstart us into the frame of mind where you can send revival and revive your work. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what is revival? Well, first of all, it's not a big cry after listening to some sad song. Now, I know, probably feels good when we have a good cry, it releases tension, but that is not revival. And secondly, it's not a shout of excitement. If that be the case, every time a footy game on, there would be a lot of revival taking place. So, it's revival is not a shout of excitement. But what is revival? Well, revival is when God comes down. Now, I know, God is here all the time. He is eternally present. He is everywhere at the same time. But it's a special thing when God chooses to come down. Just ask Moses, who walked in the desert for 40 years without God speaking to him, and then suddenly on one day he walks up to a bush and he finds it burning. God had showed up and it got his attention and it changed him. There's another one we want to talk about. How about the apostles at Pentecost? God showed up and it changed their lives. But they had also been praying and fasting and spending time with the Lord, just like Jesus told them to do. And then God came down and revolutionized the church and sent it on a worldwide mission. That's what happens when God comes down. But there's another man. How about a crusty old sailor who met God in a storm, and after he met God, he came back. And he wrote the words to Amazing Grace, "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Things happen when God comes down. And Isaiah paints us some pictures of what happens when God comes down. Let's read. In chapter 64, he writes, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence." Can you imagine the mountain shaking? Back when I was a young fella, I experienced an earthquake. No, not a big one. But there was an earthquake came through about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a lot of aftershocks that followed that. And I was a bit nervous during that time, and most of us would be too. So can you imagine what it was like when God comes down and the mountains shake? Wow. But there's another thing that Isaiah said. Verse 2, "As the fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil." When God shows up, things are burnt and consumed. Could it be that there's some things in our life that needs to be burnt up and consumed and got out of the way? When God shows up, it'll purify our lives. Things are consumed when God shows up. Isaiah continues, "To make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." You see, when God shows up, it's not only the Christians that will recognize it, but it's the community that will recognize it. Because when God is doing something unique and special, things happen and they are curious. How long has it been since God's done something special in our lives or in our church, so much so that the community wonders what's going on and they inquire to see what's happening? God, why don't you come down and change our lives? But there's another one that Isaiah says in verses 4 and 5, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." Simply stated, when God shows up, Christians rejoice. And then he's ready for some rejoicing. When God chooses to come down and he shows up in our lives, in our services, we will rejoice. We won't be able to help ourselves. We will rejoice and praise him when he shows up. So, Father, send revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send your revival. But for him to do that, some things need to take place. First, let me read to you from Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah wrote, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear you." Is there some sin in our life that's actually blocking revival for our lives? Don't you think it'd be a good thing if we would deal with that sin so God can send his revival? But there's another thing. You see, our attitudes must be humbled. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34 says, "Surely he scorns the scornful, which is the proud and the arrogant." He says, "But he gives grace to the humble." Human pride and arrogance will push God away when it comes to revival. But if we will humble ourselves and bow before him and give him control of our lives, then he will send that revival that we so desperately need. Now let me ask you, do you still want revival? And the second question is this: are you willing to pay the price? If God's going to send revival, then we need clean lives. And secondly, we need to get rid of that pride and arrogance of self-sufficiency and give him control. Remember, he is God every single day. We need to recognize that. So as we go into the next 7 days and begin thinking about and praying about revival, I would like to share a verse with you to read over and over and think about and meditate about. David wrote this. He had just been found out with his sin with Bathsheba. Nathan had pointed his long finger at David and showed him that he has been caught. David repented. Yes, it cost him dearly, but he repented. And there's a verse that we all know that we can apply in our own lives as we prepare for revival. Let me read it to you. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see what he's saying? Lord, search me. Look in every corner. Find that hidden spot that needs to be revealed and burned up and confessed. And Lord, know my heart. There is nothing hidden from him. Let's give him access to every section of our life. Then he says, "Try me. Lord, put me on trial so I can get an accurate view of myself. And finally, see if there's any wickedness in me. Show me where the sin is that I need to confess and get away from. And then, Lord, lead us on to everlasting life." Lord, send a revival. Is that what you want? Is that what I want? Is that what we as a church want? We need to make that decision. So as we go through the next week, take this passage of Scripture, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, and ask God, search you, try you, reveal the sin, and then lead us into everlasting life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this chance to focus on revival. And I pray that everyone, including me, will allow you to turn the searchlight of your power and your love into our lives and show us what needs to be gotten rid of. Father, cleanse us and bring us into your presence so you will choose to come down and ignite our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.